tape and airlifted the girl to a hospital. Doctors and firefighters worked for hours overnight, but eventually cut the pipe off around her leg. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, this is Paul Dean with Kevin Bowling. Glad to be with you on today's edition of Calling for Truth. It's Monday, and we've had a great weekend. Great day of worship yesterday. Great time of fellowship with the people of God, and I trust that we'll be fellowshipping around the things of God today. Couple of headlines in the news. We've really mentioned them before in another context, primarily Q&A Friday, but let me give them to you. Number one, Presbyterian Church puts pullout on table. And number two, denominational divide may spark fight over church buildings. Obviously, if you're informed, we're talking about some recent developments, not only in the Presbyterian Church USA, but also in the Episcopal Church and the local Presbyterian Church here, First Pres, Greenville, South Carolina, has recently come out and said, well, if local churches begin to ordain homosexual ministers, we will certainly explore the possibility of pulling out of the denomination. No decisions have been made yet. No action has been taken yet. But it's something that they're watching. It's something that they're open to if developments go further than they have at this point. As you well know, the denomination has come out and said, hey, homosexual ministers go against our standards, but we're going to allow the local assemblies to make that decision. We're going to give them a little bit of latitude. So it's sort of, we don't like it, but do what you want. I think that's a good way to characterize it, Kevin. We may come back and do a better job of that in a moment. And then the other issue that has arisen, and now it's an article in the paper, issue happens to be over when a church or churches or group of churches, whatever the case may be, when they pull out of a mainline denomination, what happens to the property? What happens to the buildings? And how much influence should what could happen have over the decision to pull out? I mean, after all, we're talking about truth. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about Christian witness. And so these are issues that are in the news today.
That's right. And these two news items that you've been talking about, one was printed on Thursday, July 20th. The first one came out, and that one talked about specifically about the local Presbyterian church here that is thinking about pulling out. The second one appeared in this morning's Greenville. I read it on Greenville Online, but in the Greenville newspaper. And that one talked about a little bit broader context, but not just with the Presbyterian church here locally and what they're going through, but also just denominations as a whole. As you just stated, it mentions in that article not only the Presbyterians, but the Episcopals as well, going through a similar thing. All the conferences were just recently, and so just a month or so ago. And so now here is the fallout from these conferences, and the fallout being that at both the Presbyterian USA Conference, or their big General Assembly, and also the Episcopal General Assembly that took place, or whatever they referred to theirs as, both of these gave this wavering view on the issue of homosexuality and what they were going to do about it. And so even though they had many people in both of those two denominations that were trying to raise the issue and say, hey, we need to take a firmer stand on this, they neglected and rejected that counsel, and they decided to go in a different direction. And in doing that, now here is the fallout from it here afterwards. And so I think this begs the question, and this might be a good question for our listeners here today, is when is it right for individuals within a congregation to pull out? You know, when is it time to say, hey, if this is the way the denomination is going to go, I don't want to be associated with it. I don't want my name being dragged through the mud because they can't make a decision on these issues. And even maybe more so, more in keeping with the article, when is it right for a church to pull out of a denomination that is going there? So I think, you know, a lot of our listeners will have some insight and wisdom on these things. We're certainly going to go over it as well from what we see here in these articles. But I think that's the real question. When is it right? And right away we get thrown in our face. I think that people say, well, you're causing a schism. You know, you're going to divide the body of Christ, and other issues come up. And I think we need to look at that a little bit more closely. What actually is schism, and what is the biblical doctrine of, or scriptural separation that we find written within the 66 books of the Bible?
Well, I think that's certainly the issue that we want to get down to during the broadcast today, the difference between schism and scriptural separation. But you kind of have some other questions that sort of float
around
it, in your mind. Why is it that certain denominations seem to be losing their hold on orthodoxy? Mm. Why is it that certain denominations seem to be entertaining things that previous generations would have never, ever entertained?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it doesn't go back to some critical issues that have been on the table, at least in our denomination, perhaps in other denominations, for some time now. And that's the whole issue of the scriptures themselves, the mm-hmm. Bible itself, whether or not it is inerrant, whether or not it is authoritative. And then, of course, I think there's the whole issue of cultural influence that is brought to bear on the way in which we view Scripture. So I think the primary issue we want to talk about is that which you've raised, schism versus scriptural separation. But these things come to mind,
sure.
Kevin. In other words, if you don't believe the Bible is inerrant or without error, then all of a sudden it's open to private interpretation, isn't it?
Well, you make a very good point, because taking it all the way back to there, to the point of, you know, this deals with the authority of the Scripture, because very often on this broadcast, as we're talking about doctrine, we often make the point that a lot of people feel that doctrinal discussions are of little value whatsoever, and that you love Jesus, I love Jesus, let's just leave it at that and let's not take it any deeper than that. And we often talk about, well, wait a second. We say, folks, you know, just hold on a second. These things have, as we discuss them, have dramatic implication and application in the church. And here's one. You know, we talked about the authority of Scripture before on the broadcast and how important it is to understand that about the infallibility of the Scriptures. And here is the practical working out of it. Now you've got people saying, hey, to ordain a homosexual, you know, as being the pastor of the church is not, they don't see any problem with that scripturally. And so I have no clue what Bible they're reading, but my Bible says that there's a problem with that. And when we get away from the touchstone of Scripture, you just open the door for all kinds of heresies to come flooding into the church, and we see the practical application of that opening up here before us.
Well, you're absolutely right there. And I think just that particular issue of homosexuality is something that we can speak to for just a moment, because that's really the central issue in this debate and whether or not these churches should pull out. And I think the issue of homosexuality is connected to the issue of feminism, the feminization of the Scriptures, for example, radical feminism that's influencing the evangelical world today, the blurring of the lines between male roles versus female roles, not only in the family but within the church, egalitarianism versus complementarianism, those types of issues. And I think, for example, when you look back at some of the older arguments, whereas some would look at what the Apostle Paul, for example, said about women's roles in the church, some would try to say, well, much of what he said was really cultural, and we live in a different cultural context today, and so what he says is not for all time. And so they would kind of take the Scriptures and twist them around and make them say something that they really don't say. But now, if you talk to a number of scholars who would not hold to orthodox roles for men and women, they would say very quickly, well, if you come to the Scriptures and interpret the Apostle Paul, There's no doubt about it. The Orthodox view in terms of interpretation is actually correct. There's a difference between the roles of men and the roles of women in Paul's mind. The problem is we just think Paul was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And see, so there's been a shift. There's a recognition that you really can't twist the scriptures, and we really mm-hmm. shouldn't try to look like idiots because we're interpreting the scripture improperly. But we just don't think Paul is right. That's what some would say today.
It's interesting that you bring those two things up, because at the same time that this is taking place, there's that new perspective on Paul that's coming out, and there's also was the gender blurring in the scripture of how we look at the Trinity came out at the same time. And so you can see elements of what you were just talking about coming out of these conferences as well.
Well, that's right. Certainly a lot of issues to talk about. In about 3 minutes, we'll be back. We hope you'll join the conversation at 1-888-660-WLFJ. You're listening to Calling for Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
John, how are you?
Very good, very good. I have kind of a perspective here. I'm Canadian. I immigrated, married a girl from North Carolina. So I kind of know the situation with, you know, immigrating to this great country. What I feel like's happening with the immigration thing is with the regard to the immigrants coming and, number one, saying, well, they need to have a background check, then they can be a citizen and paying back taxes.
Legally speaking, Friday afternoons at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Are you captive to the sin of pornography, gluttony, gambling, or homosexuality? Setting Captives Free exists to offer Christ-centered hope and freedom to those in the grips of sin through accountability to Bible-based truth, resulting in the free enjoyment of life in and for the glory of God. Be set free by the truth of God's Word through daily Bible study and accountability. Log on to settingcaptivesfree.com today and begin your journey to freedom in Christ.
Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary is now accepting applications for the fall 2006 semester. Since 1987, Greenville Seminary has been committed to training passionate preachers of the gospel in the historic Reformed faith. Located in Taylor, South Carolina, Greenville Seminary offers the Master of Divinity degree and specialized Master of Arts degrees. For more information, go to www.gpts.edu.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Here's the question for you today on Calling for Truth. When is it right for a local church to pull out of their denomination? Certainly this is being talked about in evangelical circles today. It's being talked about here in Greenville, as First Presbyterian Church of Greenville, South Carolina, has put the option on the table in terms of the possibility of exploring a pullout if local Presbyterian assemblies begin to ordain homosexual ministers. By the way, we might say to you that First Presbyterian Church in Greenville is a member of the PCUSA, which typically is more liberal than the PCA or the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in America, the ARP, Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, etc. But First Presbyterian Church Greenville is typically more conservative than the larger denomination.
I think
so
that's true. Yes.
I just want to, you know, clarify some of these terms for those who are not Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. You've got some of those denominations that are more liberal, some that are more conservative, and then churches within each denomination. So let me say that to be fair. The second thing I need to do very quickly before we go right to the phone lines is just define a couple of words I used in the first segment: egalitarianism versus complementarianism. There's a move within the evangelical world today to say that men and women are not only spiritually equal, which I would agree with,
sure,
but there's this move to say that they have equal roles within the church and women can be pastors, et cetera. That's just a summary way to say it.
Right.
They would be on equal planes in terms of husband and wife. But the complementarian view says that while they're equal spiritually and while they both have essential dignity, et cetera, both heirs of the grace of life, men and women have different roles, not only in the home but in the church, and they complement one another.
Right.
And that's the view that we would take here on Calling for Truth.
Right, and in that the first one you mentioned there, egalitarian, you know, of course, then the world would play off of that tremendously, and then they would say that there's no difference between a man and a woman whatsoever. That line of distinction between the two is blurred terribly, and we see that happening in our society all over. So, I mean, it could go to a very far extreme, but basically we're holding to a complementarian viewpoint that the man has been gifted by God with certain capabilities and certain authority, and they complement the man and the woman. They complement each other very well in this relationship and designed by God to be that way, and we're just holding for what was designed by God.
Well, that's right. All right, let's go to the phone lines because we've got two callers on, and I want to go first to Mary. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I have been listening to the conversations, and to be real honest, I came out of the Assemblies of God background and married a Southern Baptist.
Okay.
And in the Assemblies of God, they do not allow divorced men to be ordained because they take the scripture to mean that, the pastor is to be the husband of one wife, to mean that they can only have been married once unless they were widowed.
Right.
And so, you know, are we, you know, I guess I would like to know what your take on that is.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of Baptist churches and a lot of other churches in the evangelical world that would be Baptistic Assemblies of God in that sense would be one of them would take the view that you've expressed. And let me just preface my answer by saying, you know, we believe every single word of the Bible. We believe it's inerrant, it's authoritative, it's infallible, etc. And the reason I preface my comments is because I would differ a little bit in my position, so I don't want people to think that I'm coming from a liberal perspective. I'm not. I'm coming from the perspective of what does the Bible say. And my understanding of what Paul says to Timothy when he talks about the elders and the deacons, they should be the husband of one wife. If you look at that in the original, it refers to faithfulness and fidelity. It means that they should be one-woman men, or a deacon or an elder should be a one-woman man, meaning that he's faithful to his wife. So, for example, you could have someone who had never, ever been divorced, but if he had a wandering eye, well, then he would be disqualified. If you had someone who had never, ever been divorced, but he was into pornography, well, then he would be disqualified. On the other hand, if someone had a biblical divorce, for example, and the scripture does allow for divorce in at least two cases, I would say that because a brother is not bound in that matter, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, that he would certainly still be eligible for ordination. So I wouldn't say carte blanche, blanket statement, no divorced men. I would have to look at each individual case.
And Mary, I wholeheartedly agree with that interpretation of it. The actual, the Greek language there is one woman man. That's what it says. And so it is talking about, you know, that he's not a ladies man. You know, he's not, you know, to use a more common term, you know, a skirt chasing or something like that.
Right,
you know.
And
so
I
that's
I get tired of pastors having dalliances and then leaving a denomination and then going and finding another denomination to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we do a disservice to the kingdom of God when we allow that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We agree with that completely.
Yeah.
And I think that cultural context that Paul is writing in, too, it's not a cultural thing. I mean, here's the word of God.
Right.
But in his mind, he's certainly got things that are going on in the culture. And not only do you have divorce is an issue and adultery is an issue, but certainly in that context you had polygamy as an issue. We did a broadcast several months ago
where
there are those today who call themselves Christians and practice polygamy. And I think, obviously, a polygamist would be completely disqualified.
Well, I thank you for your comments on that, and I, you know, I'm right with you. You know, I think we need to hold fast to the Word of God and you know, make that our our cornerstone for everything we do in our churches.
Amen. Thanks, Mary. We appreciate the call. And Mary brings up the flip side of that point, is that a lot of good men have been disqualified from that office because of what I would see as being a misinterpretation of that verse. And so we got to be very careful. A proper interpretation is not only important to maintain the integrity of the Word of God and the purity of the church, but also so that we don't disqualify people from something that the Scripture is not actually saying. So
yeah.
I think that that's very important. We got a second call here. I think this is Gabriel. Gabriel, welcome to Calling for Truth.
Hey, guys. Wanted to thank you all so much for taking your hardline stance on the truth and for talking about things like the New Perspective and these other issues. And as a former PCUSA member, you know, what convinced me to leave was J. Gresham Machen's little book, Christianity and Liberalism.
Mm.
And that is a must-read for anybody in the current crisis, because he's prophetic, writing, you know, 82 years ago, calling exactly what's happening in our day. And I have the privilege of being taught by Dr. Morton Smith, one of the founders of the PCA, who wrote a book called When the Gold Has Become Dim. And he wrote that cataloging his struggles with the old Southern Church before they merged back in the late 50s when the liberalism really got infected or started infecting the Southern Church before they merged to become the PCUSA. And that is just an outstanding book as well. So both of those combined, I think they show you that you must leave. I mean, the PCUSA approves wholesale of abortion. That is enough, I think, for any professing Christian to leave the denomination.
Mm. Yeah, on Friday, Gabriel, we were talking about, you know, basically we were just saying that, you know, this is just another straw, but really there have been enough things that were going on there that, you know, it was hard to quite, for in my mind anyways, in the conversation that I got in with some good men that are still in the PCUSA, asking them, you know, what is it going to take for you to leave? You know, I couldn't be there.
That's
under
right.
That, you know, with these types of statements being made and the types of things that were already taking place. And it really was, it was disheartening, and it was, I can't think of any other word, discouraging. Let me put that word there. Discouraging to hear some of them say that the reason why they weren't leaving was because of pensions or because of property or these types of things. And my thought is just this. Man, there have been martyrs throughout the years that have given up, I think, a Bunyan, you know, being thrown in prison.
Absolutely.
And he couldn't provide for his family. I mean, let the goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. You know, but God's truth abideth still. We've got to, if it's going to cost us a pension, if it's going to cost us personal comfort, if it's going to cost us property, so be it. We've got to stand for the truth. And so
yeah,
I just couldn't understand.
More, brother. And I think the thing is it comes down to, again, I know retired PCUSA ministers that make more when they're retired than they did when they were pastoring because of the pension plan. And the sad thing is that money came from Bible-believing Christians who wanted to endow their churches way a long time ago when they were still faithful. And they are living off that capital of people who actually believe the Bible.
Yeah, the former
and
glory. Yeah.
It's terrible. And, you know, again, I think that the problem that we're going to see more and more in the coming years is that in America and in the West, we have become so much fattened by large salaries and comfortable buildings that we're not willing to give up for the cause.
I think it's
we're not willing to die to self and take up our cross.
Gabriel, I'm sorry for jumping in here again, and I'm jumping right over Paul too, but I think that there's another issue here too, that you know, there is a place for them to go.
Yes.
There are these other offshoots in Presbyterianism, you know, the PCA for one.
Yeah,
you know,
so
the transition is very easy. So to me, it removes, again, the, you know, the justification that they need to stay there, because, you know, they both hold to the Westminster Confession of Faith. And, you know, I think that the transition would be relatively easy to go to that denomination. So to me, it just makes it worse in my mind to stay when there's something else there to go to so easily. Paul?
Well, just correct me if I'm wrong before we move along quickly. Gabriel, you mentioned J. Gresham Machen, one of the heroes of the faith as far as I'm concerned, for all denominations. But wasn't he one of the ones that ultimately felt he had to pull out of Princeton when it was going liberal and helped to form Westminster, the seminaries back in the early part of the 20th century?
Yes, and actually one of my ancestors was taught by Dr. Machen, was one of the first students to leave with him. And Machen went liberal. I don't know if you knew that, but he went when he was in Germany. He became very liberal in his views, but the Lord brought him back. And when he brought him back, he wrote the book, Christianity and Liberalism, to justify why he was leaving Princeton.
Wow. Amen.
So praise God for men like that, and thank you all for ministry. We appreciate it, and keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gabriel. We appreciate you. Appreciate the call. Listen, we've got a couple of other callers on the line. Sorry, we just got so much to talk about. Please hold through the break, if you will. We'll get to you right after. Let me give the phone number in case some other folks want to call. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. 3 short minutes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Hey, folks, this is Dave Ramsey, and I'm coming back to Greenville on Saturday, October 7th, for the Total Money Makeover live event. This event is when I will be there live in person, giving you the principles that will help you build wealth and get control of your money. Join me, along with Christian Talk 660, for the most important event of your financial future. Reserve your seats today by calling 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223, or online at DaveRamsey.com.
This is Pastor Johnny Touche. Mount Moriah Baptist Church is privileged to sponsor Calling for Truth. They represent what we believe as a local church, that Christ is sufficient for salvation and sanctification, and that the Word of God will bring hope for humanity, and that our fullest joy is found in worshiping Christ. All Sunday service times are at 10:15 a.m. and 7 p.m. If we can help you with any needs, please call us at 420-1228.
Hello, this is Karen Hoover of Southern Stone, located on Dry Pocket Road in Greer. We started business in 1994 as the first manufactured stone installer in upstate South Carolina. We specialize in stone masonry for custom residential and commercial projects. Together, we bring over 55 years of experience to help you achieve the look you want. Call Southern Stone for a free estimate at 879-3008 or check out the idea gallery at southernstoneinc.com.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church, located at 2020 Gibbs Shoals Road in Greer, and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, we're back with Calling for Truth, and we've got a couple of callers on hold, so we want to get right to them. We're asking the question, when is it right to leave your denomination? When is it right for a church to do that in light of some local stories and some national stories, international stories when you look at the Episcopal Church?
That's
but we've
true.
Been sort of focusing on the Presbyterians here, Presbyterian Church in the USA. Let's go right to Mark. Mark, you're on the air. Thanks for being so patient.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Doing good.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a very interesting conversation in light of the way that the well, you know, what we're facing in the church today. And there are a lot of people who really don't know Scripture or understand how everyone in the church is accountable to the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, whether you're a layperson or you're a called minister, that everyone is called to follow the Scriptures. Because if we don't, then we have, it's a club. I mean, you know, it becomes something that it's your opinion, my opinion, and the ones that have the majority of opinions wins. And so I think, you know, one of the things that I'm facing in my church is that people do not have a love of Scripture. They do not love the Word of God. You know, they mainly use it as a feel-good, as something to motivate, as something to stimulate. You know, I turned on the television yesterday, and I'm flipping through the channels, and every preacher that I heard was preaching the same exact thing, using a different scripture, but talking about your destiny, that God wants you to start a business, God wants you to do this. And it's all earthly. It's all about what you get here on earth. And so, you know, I face that in the church that I'm in now, but I feel that God has called me to stay to bring the scriptures to bear on every situation that comes up. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, if you feel that God has called you to a place and you may be the only one making that stand, you have to be strong enough and grounded in scripture enough mm-hmm. to be able to make that stand, and no matter whether the bishop, the pastor, or anyone in that congregation says, see, well, I don't believe that's what scripture teaches, well, then you take them to the scripture and you say, well, this is what it says. Now, if you can convince me by scripture and, as Luther said, evident reason, mm-hmm. then I'll change my mind. But until then, this is where I make my stand. So mm-hmm. I think that is the biggest problem is that the laity in the church, we're not holding our pastors accountable because we don't love mm-hmm. the scriptures. And I think that's one of the bigger problems that we face.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. Are you in a PCUSA church, Mark?
No. Okay. I'm in an African Methodist Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. So if you
and it's the same thing there.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean. It's interesting that comment you made, obviously, about the Word of God. I was just talking about David this past week, and if you read Psalm 119, it is so interesting to realize that in every single verse in that entire chapter, he mentions the Word of God in
yeah.
one sense or another. I mean, the primacy of the Word of God and what we're doing, and so that's an excellent point. When you said that, now, if you approach somebody there at your church and you gave them, you know, a biblical reason why the church shouldn't be doing what it's doing, and then, you know, you showed them from the Scripture a clearer reasoned argument, like you were just talking about, and you did that, what would you do then if they said, well, we just don't see it that way, and we're going to go in a different way with it, we're going to continue to do what we do? What would you do then?
Basically, we just had that situation come up this past we've had a new pastor for the past 2 years, and we've had some serious problems. And what happened was, you know, the new pastor came in and he started making these changes and implementing these things. And he started using scripture in a twisted way, because he was saying, as he talked about in I believe it was in Acts chapter 6, it is where they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, in certain denominations, you know, people start laying money on the pulpit when, you know, while the minister's preaching and saying you're going to get a blessing. So you come up and you lay whatever amount of money that you feel
right.
the Lord is laying on your heart to do that. But I said, well, when you look at the scriptures, it teaches us that they laid the money at the apostles' feet. But it's descriptive, not prescriptive. This is something that we are not, you know, this is not where we take the money and actually lay it at the apostles' feet. It's more a figurative of speech, and he took it and made it literal, that, you know, people brought the money and set it at the apostles' feet, and the apostles, you know, and so I think that's one of the things that we miss is that, you know, because a person says, well, have you, you know, if you don't speak
yeah.
Greek or Hebrew, they
right.
intimidate people. And you know what? I found out something that was really interesting is that I got a concordance with a Greek and Hebrew dictionary in it, and I started reading it in the Greek, and the Greek is more emphatic than the English. So I'm like, don't tell me to read it in the Greek, because
yeah.
the Greek makes it even stronger than it does in the English.
Well,
so I think that's one of the things that,
yeah.
you know, we dealt with, and we, you know, the pastor eventually ended up moving because $365,000
yeah.
in less than 2 years were missing.
We got to let you end it there, though. We've got two other calls behind you that are already backed up.
Excellent point.
But that is a good point about, you know, the bottom line, like you're saying, we got to go back to the scripture. It's got to be the touchstone of all that we do. And if you can't back up what you're doing by the scripture, then let it go. You know, then it doesn't belong in our worship and it doesn't belong in the church. Paul?
Well, I just want to say thanks for the call and that point. We've got to go to Don quickly, though, so we appreciate Don being patient, and we appreciate, is it Mark, allowing us to move along.
That's right. Thanks,
Don,
Mark.
You're up.
Yes, thank you so much, gentlemen. So good to talk to you again. I can only relate my experience, and I wasn't there at the time it happened, but the church that I belong to, a PCA church, broke away from the PCUSA 31 years ago. And the straw that broke the camel's back was that there was a pastor at a very liberal seminary here in Pittsburgh that was there, and he was under the conviction more and more that women should not be ordained, and when he expressed that to the presbytery, they would not ordain him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was already very reformed in his convictions. And so the church that I belong to, which is called Providence, by the way.
Good name.
yes. they broke away. And I think the issue comes down to, you know, like you've been talking about, if you are convinced that Scripture says something, if you are convinced that Scripture goes against what the church is doing, then you have to leave.
Yeah.
You know, I really do believe that you do. You against sorry about that.
Yeah.
You cannot go against conscience.
Yeah, and I think we should qualify that for fundamental doctrinal issues. You know, there's also, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it much, with schism and scriptural separation.
Oh, yes.
But also, if they're lighter issues, you know, there are going to be issues of disagreement, you know, maybe on the method or mode of baptism, maybe on eschatological issues about end times.
Sure.
And exactly what's taking place when, or these types
sure.
of things.
Sure, but when you talk about
when you talk about the Trinity.
Homosexual ordination.
Exactly, or
like
abortion
or
something
women's
like
ordination, for that matter, in my opinion.
Exactly, so you're talking about...
Yeah, I think it's one thing to stay, to try to bring about reform. You know, Martin Luther was attempting to do that.
Yes, he
Whitfield.
Was.
But like you say, when you go against and stray from these essential doctrines of the faith, well, then you're in a different ballpark there, if I could just use that terminology.
Yeah, let me just say something very quickly before we go to the break. You know, and it's hard because I have family members who are in the denomination, and I believe they're genuinely saved.
Mm.
They really do. And it's not something to rejoice over when these kinds of things
happen.
No,
there's good people in there, many good people.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just need to pray that, you know, they'll continue to obey the Scripture. And if the Lord calls them out, that they will come out. But, you know, it's not something to rejoice about. It's something to just grieve.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think there are people who haven't soiled their garments.
Mm-hmm. It's never pleasant, you know, but just because it's not pleasant, you know, I mean, like you say, that's the proper attitude. We don't rejoice over this in any way.
Right.
I think it's a poor testimony in the church. It's got all kinds of issues, but just because it's not pleasant doesn't mean that we don't go ahead and do it as well. You know, it's going to be hard for people to leave. They're going to leave friends. Some will leave family members behind, but... Which is, you know, Christ said, you know, I come to bring division.
Absolutely.
And a man will be against
it. Absolutely. And I just want to say one more thing. You guys are so very, very gracious. You know, you are firm in your convictions, but you do it with such a gentle spirit that it's just a pleasure every day to tune in.
Well,
it really is.
John, we appreciate that.
Oh,
sure
thank
do,
you.
Brother.
And thank you for the book, too.
Okay. good. I hope you enjoyed that from Dr. Kostenberger. That was an excellent book. So.
Yeah, amen. And go Steelers, right? Is that right?
Go Bills.
Bills?
No.
Oh, my goodness. I have to be gracious there. But anyway, we got to go to the next caller. This is Bruce. Bruce, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to call and quickly relate several experiences that I had, because my first foray into church life was in my early 30s, and I joined a Presbyterian USA church.
Mm.
And I joined it as a confessed unbeliever.
Mm.
And I explained that to the pastor, and he said, don't worry about it, just come on, join, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, boy. Mm. Wow.
And then we moved to Pennsylvania for a brief period, where I joined another U.S. Presbyterian USA church. My wife was desperate to get me in a church one way or another so that I could hear the gospel.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, where we were going, I wasn't hearing the gospel, but that's another long story. But same thing happened there, and I actually became a trustee in that church.
Wow.
As a confessed unbeliever.
And then we moved back to South Carolina, and I joined another Presbyterian USA church, where the pastor interviewed me and I informed him that I was not a believer. He said, not a problem.
Oh, boy.
So just all I'd like to say to folks who are in the Presbyterian USA denomination, and I say this with all love, is that it has struck an iceberg. It's the Titanic. It's going down.
Mm.
And come out from among them.
Mm-hmm.
because the church has jettisoned the scripture and is drifting away from God. Mm. And it's drifted into relativism, and it's going to embrace all kinds of things, just like every other denomination in history has done once they jettison the scriptures as their authority.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the same trajectory as the denominations in England that passed into universalism, became Unitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly where the Presbyterian USA Church is heading. It's on that same trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So all of you who love the Lord
and
the Presbyterian USA Church, come out and join the PCA or ARP or any of these other Presbyterian denominations. Even those of us in the Baptist denomination, we'll baptize you right, and you can join in with us. but get off the Titanic while you can before they drag you down. I know that the inclination and desire is to try to reform and reverse things, but it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bruce, we appreciate the personal stories and also the call to brothers and sisters. And we're going to go to a break. And appreciate the comments, as always. You're listening to Calling for Truth. We'll be back into the last segment when we come back from this break. 1-888-660-WLFJ. You still have time to get on the air.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
The Bible. It's the inspired, inerrant Word of God. We read in John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Weekday mornings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Go back to the Bible with Dr. Woodrow Kroll on Christian Talk 660.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Have you ever noticed how things you learned long ago still stick with you? With Upwards, I'm Max Licato, and I can recall my father's explanation of a group of men on the roadside all wearing striped clothing. He said, "They're prisoners. They've broken the law. They're serving time." What especially struck me was that those men never looked up, never made eye contact. Perhaps they were ashamed. You know what those prisoners felt at the side of the road was? Incredibly, what our Savior felt on the cross, disgrace. You see, every aspect of the crucifixion was calculated, not only to hurt the victim, but to shame him. Jesus bore our sins as well as our shame. No, he wasn't guilty. Our sins, placing him there, brought the devastation and the shame. You see, we come to the cross like those prisoners, dressed in our mistakes, but through faith in Christ, we leave dressed in the robe of his forgiveness and perfection.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, we're into the last segment. Here's the phone number. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. Again, that's 1-888-660-9535. Now we're asking the question today, when is it right for an individual to leave a church over doctrinal issues? But largely, we're asking the question, when is it right for a church to leave a denomination? The impetus for our conversation today is a couple of articles in the local newspaper. One, the local First Presbyterian Church, which is in the PCUSA, has said that they will explore whether or not to leave the denomination if local assemblies begin to ordain homosexual ministers. And then, of course, there was a follow-up article just today in the Greenville News talking about some of the issues that are actually on the table when it comes to churches, at least in the Presbyterian and Episcopal denominations, leaving their denominations, i.e. what's going to happen to the buildings, what's going to happen to pension funds, et cetera, et cetera. We've had a wonderful discussion so far, and so far, praise the Lord, Kevin, everyone has been saying, you know what, we need to follow the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our authority. We need to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there does, in fact, come a point where we must leave if the essential tenets of the faith are being compromised, and you and I would certainly agree with that. One of the interesting things that was brought up by our last caller, Bruce, he mentioned that he had joined three Presbyterian churches, all PCUSA, not PCA or OPC or ARP, but all PCUSA churches, three different churches. He joined those churches while an unbeliever. And he said to the pastor, I'm an unbeliever, and no problem. You can go ahead and join the church. Join the church. We'll see what happens. Don't want to shift gears too much.
Right.
One of the things that I'm thrilled about in my own denomination is that, in essence, the battle over inerrancy has been largely won. Now, there are other battles yet to be faced.
Right.
But at least we're saying, as a denomination, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, which means we can then begin to ask the question, well, what does the Bible say? And let's take our stand on what the Bible says, and so there'll be other battles.
Amen.
There are other battles.
Yes.
But one of the things that grieves me is in the past convention, just a few weeks ago, there was a resolution offered by Dr. Tom Askell, who has been on the broadcast before. He's going to be on the broadcast hopefully next week, talking with us about the new perspective on Paul and that error. But he's brought forth the resolution to maintain integrity in church membership. In other words, we need to clean up our roles. We've got so many people in our roles in our denomination who we don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. Many of them are dead, literally. Yeah. They've already passed away. And we ostensibly hold to a regenerate church membership. So anyone that walks through the door, they are welcome. We want lost people there. We want lost people in attendance. But we don't sign lost people up. In other words, if someone were to come to me and say, well, I want to join your church, but I'm an atheist, I'm an unbeliever, well, we'd want to evangelize them and encourage them to come, but we wouldn't allow them to join the church.
No.
And here's Bruce saying this is what's happening in the PCUSA. That's awful close, Kevin. It's not the same thing. I don't know of any conservative Baptist churches who would let known unbelievers join.
Yeah.
But when we're saying we're not willing to clean up our roles, the answer was we need to leave them on our roles. Here's the kicker. We need to leave them on our roles so that we have a fertile field of evangelism.
Yeah.
You're saying almost the same thing. It's very scary.
Yeah, that certainly does open up another can, and I could go down that way very easily. That's I want to make some comments on it if there's time left, because that's an important point. We don't want to get into corpse washing, which the church has basically got itself into. But before I go down that track, let's go to the phones again. We got Eric on line one. Eric, welcome to Calling for Truth.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I can honestly say that I don't know much about denominational religious groups as far as, you know, what you do in your Baptist or what they do in their Presbyterian. As far as I see it, it looks like, you know, if you would go back to the Bible and go back to the first century church to follow the ways of our Lord Jesus and what he would have us to do, I don't read anything about a convention, a superior body of, you know, these men who have rose above everyone else and have given themselves a place of honor or a place of authority over a denomination. That, to me, that seems to be the biggest problem, is you're not following, those groups aren't following the Bible. They're following a group of men who are making the decisions for them. They're not in the Word, reading the Word and what it should be. From what I understand of what I'm reading, you can have, you know, you're supposed to have an autonomous body where, you know, it's a group of believers get together with, you know, of course, an evangelist or a preacher would be someone who studies more and can apply the message to everyday life so laymen can understand it. But,
So you're questioning the broader, larger General Assembly type concept. And where they get that from, Eric, is out of the book of Acts, you know, where it talks about the Jerusalem Council that got together. And there was a group of the believers that got together from the various churches around the regions. and they all came together there in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 12 and 15 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they would get the scriptural backing to have that type of a assembly that would meet together. Now, there would still be authority at the local level, you know, that they would hold to, but they would say that there is impetus, there is a justification in the scriptures for having the larger group over the smaller groups, the smaller local churches, and they would get that out of Acts 15.
Yeah, let me just throw this in too, Kevin, if I may. Those churches that would hold to what we would call either a Presbyterian form of government or an Episcopal form of government, you know, those churches on that side of the the table would appeal to that text. I think they would look at the apostles and see, you know, some of the things that they did in the churches. And obviously that's where Presbyterian folk are coming from. The Baptistic churches, you know, those churches that hold to that congregational form of government, even if you have elders, you still have a congregational form in a Baptist context, you know, they would say just what Eric is saying, that that local church is completely autonomous and there's no higher authority over that local church. Mm-hmm. So we recognize that, and obviously I come from that Baptistic background. I understand where Presbyterians are coming from, and we don't break fellowship because we agree on the essentials of the faith. Mm-hmm. But obviously that's one reason I'm Baptist. We have a different view there. But I would also add quickly that even Presbyterians would affirm soul competency. They may not talk about it quite as much as Baptists do, but they would affirm that each one of us is responsible for God, before God as individuals, that each one of us needs to search the scriptures, that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the conscience, that no one can bind our conscience. I think Presbyterians would hold to that, Kevin. You know better than I.
Yeah.
And so I just throw that in. But I do think Eric makes that point
now,
in
the
terms
SBC,
of a Baptist perspective.
In the Baptist, though, the SBC, then, if whatever came out of the convention, it would not be binding upon the local congregations?
That's right.
Okay, but so there's an affiliation or an association, but not an affiliation.
Essentially, the Southern Baptist Convention is a group of churches who cooperate together for missions. I mean, anything that the National Convention does is not binding on the local church.
Okay. In the various levels, Eric, then Episcopal being even more so than the Presbyterian Church, certain decisions that are made would be binding upon the local assemblies, the local churches. And so they see that in the book of Acts, where they came out with don't eat meat that was strangled, and avoid fornication, I think, and other things that were mentioned. Yeah. Three or four different things that they said were binding upon the local
congregation. Yeah, see, we would look at that text and not say that it's prescriptive, as one of our earlier callers said, for church government throughout time.
Right.
We would see the highest authority, of course, the headship of Jesus Christ under that, but the highest authority in a local church would be that local group of elders or the local pastor.
So there would be more there, Eric, and I don't know if that will totally eliminate the problem. I know you say, well, that's the big problem because men are involved in it, but you could get that on a much smaller basis as well, too, you know, right within the local church, just in the men that are tasked by the Lord to run the local church. This is just a little bit larger of a group, basically. So I don't know if you're going to get away from men being involved in it.
I understand. It just seems, you know, that they seem to lord such power, or it's perceived, you know, well, we have to do this because they say that we do it. And almost the local, on a local level, yeah, of course, I believe in elders, you know, and that they oversee the flock and, you know, the direction that it goes. So they should be able to see that if they're competent men on a local level, you know, they should be able to say, no, we're not going to follow you because that's totally wrong, and not have to worry about any, I don't know, punishment from whatever group above them. You know, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to disfellowship from you and blackball you, and you know.
Eric, good point, but I'm sorry, we're probably down to about 10 seconds, and so we've got to close it out. Thank you very much for the call. You made some great comments.
Well, he did, and I think it might solve the problem of what to do with the building or what's going to happen to the building.
Right.
But anyway, we're going to have to talk about it another time.
Yeah, let's bring it up again tomorrow.
Yeah, let's Let's continue this and talk about schism versus scriptural separation. Eric, thank you for the call. Tune in tomorrow on Calling for Truth. We'll talk about it just a little bit more. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers.